Three gay caballeros. Ricardo Lara is in the studio. Daniel Hernandez will be here any second. Welcome, Ricardo, to Sidebar with John Uriette.
Oh, I love it. I've been waiting to be on the show.
I know. It's so cool. So those of you who don't know, they're listening all around the country, Ricardo is our first openly gay constitutional officer in the state of California. He's our state insurance commissioner.
About time, right?
About time, I know.
You would think in California this would have already happened.
No, you're the first, Mio. You are the first.
But not the last.
And hopefully not the last, but you are the first. You came from a kind of a, like me, a lower middle class upbringing. You were Southeast LA. I was over in Whittier, Santa Fe Springs, and rose to become the elected official that got more votes than any other, I think, LGBT person in the country.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah, you represent 34 million people?
Yeah, around there. I mean, close to 40 million Californians.
That's amazing, Ricardo.
It's great. You know, it's a, you know, but my story is our story. It's the American story. And only is the story of us, of who we are as a community, possible in this country.
Yeah, very, very true. And I was, we were talking, you and I yesterday, as insurance commissioner, people are probably saying, well, what can he do as an LGBT person for our people? PrEP. I mean, tell them what the problem is with PrEP and the insurance company.
Well, you know, now serving in this capacity as the insurance commissioner for the state of California, not only do I represent the largest insurance market in the country, but fourth in the world. And what does that mean in terms for, you know, our average constituent, average person who's, you know, trying to make ends meet? Well, after I won this election in November, I got several cases where people were calling me, and these are gay couples who are now having children, they're buying their homes and needing to buy insurance and buying life insurance. And they were saying, when I disclose that I'm on PrEP, because when you're going to apply for life insurance or try to purchase a product, you give your historical health record, and they would disclose that they were on PrEP, and they were either being denied access to a life insurance policy, or they were being charged higher rates because somehow they were thinking that being on PrEP was riskier behavior.
I know, and it's supposed to reduce risk. That is the whole point of PrEP.
Insane, right?
It is
completely the opposite.
Yeah.
What we want to promote is PrEP is a preventative measure. It's actually keeping you healthy. And even you would be surprised, John, even in California within my own department, hearing our health actuaries and health experts talk about PrEP, you know, and how they were communicating this to the community, were saying, essentially, well, PrEP and Truvada is used for the prevention of HIV in risky behavior. I'm like, absolutely not.
Right.
It is the opposite. And if we're going to want insurance companies to do the right thing, we need to start changing the message.
Well, and the risky behavior, I guess, means gay sex. That's what's implied in that, is that somehow
exactly. Gay
sex is riskier than heterosexual sex, and you can get the same STDs, STIs,
exactly.
as straight people.
Now, I told my staff, if you want to mention that just sex is risky in general, that's fine.
Yeah.
But simply categorizing gay sex as riskier somehow is completely false.
Well, it's stigmatized, I guess, from the old days of HIV and AIDS.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And so having me now at the helm of the insurance department, being able to change that rhetoric, we launched an investigation after several of, you know, my friends and people were just calling in, complaining about this issue. So we found, even though California law explicitly bans insurance companies from not providing these products to folks who are on Truvada, PrEP, and PEP, they were still doing it. And so we launched an investigation where we sent our undercover agents, and they did an analysis and found that several insurance companies were either denying claims, denying the policy, or making people pay extra. And so we immediately just sent a communication yesterday saying they need to stop this behavior or else we're going to have to take him to court.
I love that you sent an undercover agent. You mean people pretending to be gay? is that what that means?
Yes. We were getting people to, you know, pose as gay couples, identifying themselves as
were they gay or were they straight people
you
pretending
know,
to be?
I can't tell you. But I want
to see what kind of lessons you gave them on how to act gay.
Right? You know, they're professionals.
They're professional gay players. Gang, we are just been joined by Daniel Hernandez, Arizona State Rep, who just got out of a cab and you made it. Welcome, Daniel.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So we played three gay caballeros, Donald Duck's theme song before you got here. Because, I mean, having two gay Latinos is one thing, but you have three gay Latinos.
It's nothing but trouble.
Let the chisme fly. Let the gossip go.
Chisme for days.
Daniel, you first got elected when?
To the school board in 2011, but the legislature in 2016. So I've been in office since 2011.
Wow. Time flies, huh?
I'm a very old 29.
And he's thriving in Arizona, honey. He's doing a great job.
You represent the Phoenix area, yeah? No.
No, I represent the Tucson area down to the border.
Tucson.
So I actually have all of Santa Cruz County, the largest port of entry in Arizona. So dealing with the migrant crisis, education. We had the teacher walkouts last year, so it's been an interesting time in Arizona.
Oh, that is right. Yeah. I was telling the listeners before you walked in about your history, Gabby Gifford's aide, and how you saved her life, in essence, and now became an elected yourself.
Yeah, and I'm actually here in Florida for NALEO, where I'm speaking on school safety, talking about how we make sure that we keep students safe in our schools. And part of that is making sure we look at things like background checks and making sure that we push for better gun laws in the state of Arizona and across the country.
Well, that's so, you see, this has been so cool because here I am talking to the two of you, and Ricardo's working on insurance, denial of insurance claims on PrEP. People are being denied reimbursement on PrEP because it's supposedly
so expensive.
Risky sexual behavior. Right. And you're working on gun control and gun issues, and it's so amazing to me that we're no longer pigeonholed that we just do like gay rights and AIDS. We do everything.
I had to learn about tomatoes because we have a big issue with tariffs.
I've dated a few tomatoes in my life.
So yeah, I think it's one of the nice things about having Latino electeds and LGBT electeds who aren't just pigeonholed and talking about just the one issue, because of the amount of people who've gotten into office and over the years, the issues that we deal with are so much more complicated because we're dealing with the issues that affect the entire community, not just the LGBT or the Latino community. I think that's really great that now we're having to learn about denial of insurance, or in my case, tariffs and how they impact the tomato trade.
Wow.
And the interesting thing, I think, just Daniel and a lot of us prove is that you don't have to come from a traditional gay community to get elected.
Yes.
I mean, we're getting elected everywhere, and being able to champion those issues that are critical to those communities is key. And we could do it as Latino, openly gay members of the community.
Which is amazing. Guys, we got to take a quick commercial break. Gang, when we come back, we're going to keep talking to California Insurance Commissioner Ricardo Lara and Arizona State Rep Daniel Hernandez. Thanks for listening to Sidebar with John Duran here on Channel Q. Sidebar with John Duran. I'm here with Insurance Commissioner from the state of California, Ricardo Lara, and Arizona State Rep representing Tucson, Daniel Hernandez. Welcome back, guys. What were we gossiping about before the commercial?
Many things.
Taylor Swift did what?
No comment.
Right. The flack she's getting with her new song.
Oh. She inserted herself into the gay rights movement, yeah?
Apparently, that's what The Onion says.
And that's the real news.
Right.
I want to know how popular Donald Trump is in Tucson. I'm just curious.
Is there a way to be negative in polling? Because if there were...
I think there is. Negative what?
Even the Republican... There are two Republican state electeds who have told me that they voted for a Republican that was not Donald Trump, which means they either wrote themselves in or voted for, like, Ronald Reagan.
Wow.
Even the Republicans don't like Donald Trump, which is why in 2016, he was less than 4 points away from losing the state of Arizona. So Arizona's in play in 2020, which is really exciting, but also a little nerve-wracking because now we have to get our things together and actually get ready to take over.
Yeah,
we're two seats behind in the state house, which hasn't happened since 1962.
Wow.
So we're really excited.
You guys elected a bisexual woman to the U.S. Senate. Yes.
A bisexual non-theist,
non-God-believing
worker
from Arizona.
Triathlete. Yeah, I mean, she has 5 degrees.
She's smart. Christian Sinema was who we're talking about, kids.
Senator Sinema, I've known for a decade. I got to go to her swearing in, and I was so excited because I've known her for a decade, and I'm so excited that despite the fact that she was bisexual, non-theist, and had everything working against her, she was able to still beat Martha McSally in a year where we thought it would be a year for Republicans to take over and take that seat.
And it didn't happen. Now, does Martha McSally have to run again in 2020?
Yeah. She has to run twice if she wins in 2020. So right now, Mark Kelly, who's Gabby's husband, is running for the U.S. Senate seat against Martha McSally in 2020. Whoever wins that will be up for re-election for a full term in 2022. So they don't even get to have a break. It's going to be like running for Congress for a U.S. House seat for two cycles in a row.
And Mark Kelly has a chance?
He's pulling 1 point behind, and I think that's the incredible thing, that Mark is an astronaut. He was a Navy pilot. He's one of the smartest people, similar to Kirsten, and I think that's the thing that we're going to need. We're going to need smart people to take on these Republicans to win in Arizona.
So Washington, Oregon, California, Nevada, and Arizona, and New Mexico will all have two Democratic senators.
Hopefully.
Wow. That's the plan.
That's the plan.
Can we get Colorado, too? That's the challenge.
Can we get Hickenlooper to run for Senate instead
that's
of
what he should
president? Because
right.
that's what he should be doing.
That's what he
he's
should
won
be doing.
Statewide. We saw him today at the candidate for him, and he's a great candidate, but he's stubborn that he wants to run for president.
So which one of the candidates that came to Naleo did you enjoy and like?
Yeah, let's ask each other that. Daniel, who did you enjoy and like?
There's like the head and the heart answer, and I think I really enjoyed Senator Warren. I think she's doing a lot better. I think the first time I started thinking about her as a candidate in 2016, I'm like, she's kind of scary, but now she's thoughtful. She has really great ideas. I don't agree with all of them. There are things that I'm like, oh, that's a little too much because I'm still in Arizona.
Yeah.
And she's running as a person on the coast. But Senator Warren, and I think Pete Buttigieg is also super impressive. And I was really excited.
He knocked it out of the park today.
There were a lot of people who I was talking to who were like, ¿Quién es el Pete Buttigieg? ¿Cómo se dice?
Buttigieg.
Right. Buttigieg.
No, I think for me, Beto did a really good job.
Beto did a great job.
And I'm
Beto
coming
from Texas.
You know, never have heard these candidates before. And I just have a tough issue with candidates that come out of Texas or red states, because I'm like, you got to do the work like we did in California to turn your state blue before you're trying to make, money moves to the presidency. But he did a really good job today. And I agree with Daniel. I think Mayor Pete did a fantastic job. I thought he was able to convey a very concise, sobering message without being doom and gloom. And I think he effectuated his message very, very effectively.
I was sitting next to a Republican who's on our board, and he was sitting there, and during Buttigieg's comments, he turned to me and he goes, he's really smart. I said, yeah, he is really smart.
And he's got that radio voice that's like so calming and soothing. So, I'm kind of fangirling.
But isn't
Buttigieg.
That the problem, that there's like 20 great candidates and we need some of them to go down and run for things like Senate? Like Beto, God love him. I don't know if he's going to be able to break through. So maybe he should be going and running for that second Senate seat.
But I have to say, too, the sobering and great thing that I saw amongst other candidates when we were, meeting with them backstage was that they were all very, genteel with each other. They were getting along. They were the camaraderie you could see, and that's something that we need more, as those of us, we ran for office and we've had opponents, and being able to disagree and still run against each other in a way that's humane and not having to attack each other is something that was very sobering to see.
Yeah, I agree. I was blown away by Beto. Beto came, so he came out to me, and I've met him a couple of times, and he came and goes, John Duran, you have family in El Paso, I heard. I'm like, wow, he's right. I'm like, did you just guess that? Or did you actually do a little homework? But I mean, the fact that he knew that.
He clocked you, girl.
He clocked me. He goes, your family's from New Mexico, and you relatives in El Paso. I said, yes, I do, sir. Wow. All right, Beto. All right. What
Go
do you
ahead,
want?
Go ahead, Beto.
But what are we going to do?
Know your audience.
Look, I endorse Kamala Harris because she's our U.S. Senator. Right. I've known her forever. But now my heart is tugging away at going with Pete Buttigieg. And I don't know. Do I help both? I guess I help both.
Yeah, I think there's a way for us to have that dialogue. I, of course, also endorsed Senator Harris. I think she's fantastic. But being able to see an openly gay candidate run for the presidency and do it with such a way where, he's intelligent, he's eloquent, and he's respectful, and really sets a tone that we need in this country.
And he's a legitimate candidate. That's the other thing.
Absolute legitimate candidate. And I was
outraising people like Senator Gillibrand from New York, who's been planning to do this for years.
And outpolling her.
Right.
I was so proud. I don't know if you guys felt the same way. I was so proud to see somebody from our community up there, pleading his case and showing why he could be the next president of the United States.
Yeah.
That's something that I never thought growing up as a kid that I would ever see, right?
And the leader of the Senate from Colorado who said, as a veteran, I want to thank you as a fellow veteran for your service. And I'm like, wow.
Right.
I'm watching all my history collide because I got arrested in front of the Clinton White House over Don't Ask, Don't Tell, 20 years ago. And now I'm watching a gay veteran talking to a straight
like
veteran.
A Rhodes Scholar.
Yes,
like,
at all.
Right. The speaks right. Nine languages.
Yeah.
Right.
And we're, I mean, and again, demonstrating in our community, like we're everything and we're everywhere, right? We can be Rhodes Scholars.
We are
scholars.
Every woman.
We are.
I'm every woman.
It's all in. Don't get me started because I'll be here forever. But to demonstrate that we're so diverse, not only our ethnicities, but our own life experiences, right? We have, you know, Naleo has proven and shown that there's LGBT Latino elected officials that are community college graduates that, you know, might not have the easiest start, but they're working. They went to state schools, Rhodes Scholars. We're everywhere and in every aspect of our society. And now we're getting elected in non-traditional areas and demonstrating that we can be electable, we can win, and we can promote great policies that affect everybody.
Yeah, it's so cool. You guys both come from communities that are not readily identifiable as LGBT. West Hollywood, I mean, it's like the mothership, right? It's like the mothership for homosexuals.
Where the women are strong and the men are pretty.
That's my line. That's my line wherever
I
go.
I love that.
Someday they're going to start repeating it back to me.
Right.
But I think it's incredible to finally be at this point where this is happening. You know, like I got elected 20 years ago and it was a little, I think it was tougher for me getting elected as a left in West Hollywood that has openly gay.
I mean, real talk, right?
85% white. My city's 85% white. So when I got elected, I brought a mariachi band for my installation. I'm like, I'm going to make this very clear from the very beginning that I am Mexican
American. Right away, we get the Latinos elected, you bring the mariachi.
I don't know, before, when I did my kickoff in 2016, I brought a kid's mariachi for two reasons. One, you get cute kids in mariachi outfits, but two, their parents come, so your event looks twice as big.
Yes.
Scheming. Built-in crowd.
Girl.
And our kickoff had like 250 people, the second highest kickoff of anybody other than somebody running for U.S. Senate in Arizona.
And half of those were the mariachi family.
Exactly.
I love it.
Because the parents come and they're like, what is this thing that you're playing at? And they're taking pictures and then built-in crowd, lots of white people who are like, what are these cute little kids doing playing mariachi?
That is
so
cool.
But is that real? I mean, we always often talk about it as Latino LGBT leaders of the need for our mainstream LGBT, you know, movement to diversify. I mean, I know, John, you always talk about that. I've experienced that as well, you know, that maybe put racism within our own community and when it comes to supporting LGBT candidates of color. I mean, have you had that same experience, Daniel?
Lots of times. There are a lot of organizations that love putting me as a speaker at their event, have never done anything to help me. They'll promote their materials, they'll put me on, and I'll be the token brown person. And then I'll call and say, hey, I need help. Or, hey, can you help somebody else who's running that's a person of color? Oh, no, we already, you know,
we
have
did
decided
that.
Who we're supporting.
Yeah, we did that this month.
Right. So the question is, would a brown or black openly gay person running for president receive the support that Mayor Pete's having?
Would they better, or we're going to have another uprising?
Right. I'm going to go with no, not yet. Although I think it's interesting. Could we potentially have a nominee that's gay before we have a woman president? And I think
that's possible. We got to do a quick commercial break. Guys, hang on. I don't want you to go away. We're having fun. Thanks for tuning in to Sidebar with John Duran here on Channel Q.